I was just 18, choking back the fright, waiting in the wings on a Friday night. And I walked on stage with my heart beating like a drum. It was strange, but it felt like coming home, like some deeper truth I had always known. And I couldn't wait to do it again when the show was done. And we were all so young. We were all so young.
When did the time go by between a thousand cities and the wink of an eye?
We were all so young.
I guess sometimes I just could not see with that bright spotlight shining down on me.
I've always had this song on the tip of my tongue. And we were all so young.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the studio here with Mr. Randy Stonehill. Thank you for coming to Canada. Why are you here?
Well, I'm running from the law, Drew. And, of course, now the jig's up.
So yes.
Keep moving.
9 concerts?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm delighted to be back, actually.
You like this country. You like us, don't you?
I do. No, truth be told, this is radio, so you can't tell I'm smiling. But I am. No, I really, really have always felt welcomed. I actually get a sense that people tend to appreciate the fact that you've come the distance, and they just seem a bit more, they're like culturally dialed in, but they're a tad less jaded perhaps than American audiences. So
would you rather be a Canadian?
Can you help with the paperwork? Right after this interview, ladies and gentlemen, and I could sing, "Oh Canada."
You're a real Canadian. You don't know the lyrics.
That's all I know.
Yeah, so, you're in, man.
Okay.
You're right in.
But this is the other thing. When I had the opportunity to do this kind of truncated, you know, mini tour, I thought this is good stewardship, you know, because when you do something of this nature, that's when you achieve that synergy between, you know, radio and the live concert stuff and activity in the stores. And it's just different than sort of being a bit more lazy and saying, well, you know, the weather's better in Southern California where I'm from. I could just stay and just keep doing my weekend gigs. I'm grateful for those. But that's just like, you know, it's kind of like spinning your wheels. You're not building anything. You're not really increasing visibility. You're just going week to week and round and round. So I'm very glad to be here. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
I speak truly unto ye.
Well, folks, not sure whether you realize this, but we are in the studio live with Mr. Randy Stonehill. And for those of you who don't know who Randy Stonehill is, you obviously don't have a life, I guess.
You've been culturally robbed.
Yes, yes.
Lord, let's just pray that they could purchase the entire discography.
So basically the deal is Randy is in town here in Ontario for a month doing all these concerts all over the place. Tonight you're going to do a concert in Toronto.
Yes, sir.
Toronto at Tyndale University. They're expecting hundreds to come.
Maybe even dozens.
Could be.
That's possibly less,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Do you have to do Chutney Do in every concert?
I am compelled by a force greater than my own, you know.
Because your wife doesn't like that song a whole lot, does she?
Yeah, if she had a nickel for every time she had to hear that song, yeah. we could rename her Mrs. Nicholson or something.
Yeah. And you wrote that just kinda in the car driving along somewhere,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, it was a little car ditty I wrote driving down Hollywood.
Is that the category? Car ditties?
I think it is. Especially for that song. Just simple, accessible, and yet meaningful at its core.
Yes.
Work with me.
Yeah.
1982, driving down Hollywood Boulevard and just looking at all the brokenness and dysfunction, you know, on the sidewalks. I just, my kind of knee-jerk response was to hit the power lock on the door, and I went, ooh, shut the door, keep out the devil. And then I started to kind of chuckle to myself, and I thought, wait a minute. There's something here. Shut-dee-do.
Is that really how it happened?
Yes, absolutely. Shut-dee-do, keep the devil in the night. Shut-dee-do. And I think, and this is where it gets bleary, but I think this is true. I think
it is true.
It is true. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, but what's up with that? Come on. Life's too short. Then I finished a concert tour of Australia, walked into my front door when I got back to you know, to Seal Beach, Southern Cal, and the phone was ringing, and it was my manager. And the little hairs on the back of my neck stood up almost as if in primal warning. And my manager said, Randy, I'll give you the short form. But he goes, Randy, you got to go to Norway. I said, when? And he said, right now. I'm sorry, man. I must have spilled coffee on the calendar, but can you just go back to the airport? Because you got three shows and they're waiting for you. So I said, trying to be a Christian and also kind of, I guess, goofy,
yes,
as opposed to just learning to say no, guess what, you take the heat. I said okay. So I hugged my wife hello and goodbye, went back to the airport, and as I was flying across the land, I thought that little chorus came back to me, shadido kibaudidibble, and I went, now if I could, maybe I can redeem the time here and I can anchor this chorus down by building verses that are kind of kindred in the vibe, you know. And I thought, well, it's like some kind of Caribbean, yes, tropical,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And so, hour by hour, as I drank too much coffee and wrestled with my jet lag, I kept on building the verses to the song. By the time I actually got to Norway, I mean, I was so late, I got out of the car, they just pushed me onto the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
You're kidding. So,
no, and I thought, you know, no time like the present. I'm going to try this song out on these.
Oh, you did too?
On these people. And so I stumbled out onto the stage, almost blinded by this sea of white. It's like all these towheads, you know, all 1,500 Norwegians. And I'm going, okay. So I thought, yeah, let's inflict this upon them and just see what they think. And so I went, ladies and gentlemen, here's a brand new song, and I mean brand new, because I wrote it on the airplane. And it just clicked. They were going, yeah, shadido, kibadido.
Did you get them into a chorus? Like, did you get them with you? Was it crowd participation right off the bat, or did you just flog the life out of it?
Oh, yeah,
you
know, that's like what I did.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, wow.
Yeah, and it was just lovely just to see how it clicked. And I thought, well, you know, God is nothing if not surprising and generous. And so, you know, from there, this has become the song that would not die. I'm telling you, since recording it and having that record come out in 83, I have heard everything from choral versions to reggae versions to folk versions to rap versions. Kathy Mattea, the country singer, does it in her concerts every night. A friend of mine saw it being performed on television in Beijing. When he was in China doing music research. And the recent word I got just of a month or two back was that it has been performed at and recorded at the Mormon Tabernacle.
If they only knew.
I know. So it's just, I go, hey,
wow.
You know, frankly, it's not really representative of my best work, but I won't complain.
You are 52 years old.
Yeah, don't rub it in. What's it to you? You and what army? You'll never prove it in a court of law.
Why didn't you sing a Turning 50 song?
Because of memory loss. No, you get a lot. 34 years of jet lag, you get a lot of...
a little hum.
Little pink noise. but truth be told, I still do that song in concert, and I will stop quite often in the middle of it because of more dial tone. No, I'm kidding. I'll stop in the middle of it and go, I wrote this 22 years ago, and just sort of let people know that,
yeah,
I know that they know that we,
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
know.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. As long as it's clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
San Jose, growing up in the whole San Jose area.
Yes, sir.
So is that where the vineyard, actually it wasn't a vineyard then, but it was a home group you started going to that turned into the vineyard.
Yeah. No, it was a Bible study that started in Larry Norman's living room. And then it grew into a larger group, larger than his living room. Fit in his living room, right. And a pastor named Ken Gullickson was one of the first guys to head it up. And then we just watched it grow into this incredible movement of God.
Dylan went to one of those Bible studies as well, did he?
Yeah, he did. He didn't go to the Bible study. The church had grown just to the point that for convenience sake, they did a split. So they had a San Fernando Valley faction, which was where I went,
right,
and a Santa Monica. Yeah,
okay.
Which is where he ended up going.
Right. Okay.
But my favorite story, if you'll bear with me here, is that my friend Wendell Burton.
Yeah, his mother's hitting on Bob Dylan.
No, she was not hitting on Bob Dylan. This man needs a hobby, ladies and gentlemen. too much time in this oxygen deprived room.
Yes.
But no, yeah, so Dylan ended up going to a summer kind of Bible study series. But when the series started up, the pastor took people aside before Bob showed up. And they said, "Now look, we know he's Bob Dylan. He's like the poet of the universe, but the deeper reality is he's a new Christian. So just try not to be rabid fans and try not to get in his face. Just treat him like a brother. The guy just has to have some room to breathe and he's got to grow. And so here's my friend Wendell thinking, no, that's right. You know, that's the way it should be." And after one of these sessions, they all went out to lunch. And Wendell ended up sitting next to Bob Dylan at the table. And Wendell's just like, you know, he just was so kind of starstruck that he could barely make a sentence. And he's just trying to be cool and not like stare at Bob Dylan. And he's just trying to eat his lunch and just be casual. But he's just red in the face. He's just going, I can't help it. It's Bob Dylan. He's right next to me, you know. But now Wendell's mother, Millie, she's sitting across the table. And of course, now she would be impressed. She's a middle-aged woman. She would be impressed if, say, Perry Como, you know, or Pat Boone was sitting there.
Right.
But for Bob Dylan, to her, that's just like someone who, he's a nice boy from a Jewish background, and he would just look better if he could tidy up his hairstyle, you know. I could give him a trim, you know. So that's what she's thinking, right? So everyone's sitting around the table, and they're trying to be cool, but Dylan can just feel the nervous tension in the air, and there's kind of awkward silences. So his radar gets him to automatically kind of focus in on Millie, who is just not terribly impressed with him, you know. So he kind of turns to her in this awkward silence, and he says, "So, Millie, how do you think you did on the Bible quiz?" And Millie looks at him, and she goes, "Well, Bob, I think I did all right, but, you know, I had trouble with that one question about Job." And Dylan went, "Yeah, I know, that one threw me, too. Pass the peas, please." And so here's Wendell just, like, choking on his lunch, going, "I can't believe it. My mom's just kind of chatting with Bob, and I'm just trying not to, you know, not to bite my lip, you know."